Welcome back to the Act Two Podcast, a podcast for the real life working screenwriter. I am Tasha Hugh.
And I am Josh Hallman.
As a reminder, Act Two is a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter, of which this podcast is just one of the things. Patreon is also a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. I really love our Patreon.
Greatest Patreon ever.
Ever. we're doing a Q&A this month where actually the winners of our Oscar pool that we did, so people who got the most answers right, I guess there was a tie actually.
Yeah.
They got picked to be the Q of the Q&A, and they're going to come with some questions, hopefully hard-hitting ones.
Totally.
Not that hard-hitting though. It's, you know,
yeah,
it's a school night. And we're gonna talk to people, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great and fun. And that's something you can do if you are on our co-EP Patreon tier. And that happens every other month. And in between that, we break a spec, Josh and I. We have a time travel action movie we are breaking.
Yeah.
And we throw those up on Patreon as well. And then there's all those kinds of little things like events and stuff that we're going to do. We do script club, newsies. We kind of just throw shit in as it comes up as extra bonus content on the Patreon. So check it out.
I love it. It's great. Patreon.
You know, Josh, everyone that I meet in the wild who listens to the podcast, they're always like, how have you guys been going for so long? And I don't know if they're exhausted or like just shocked. Or what, but yeah, here we are. We keep on plugging and growing, and it's great because it's really, really therapeutic to talk about all of this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. If we stopped doing this, I think we would both still continue doing it. It would be like a 2 or 3 week break, and then all of a sudden we'd be like, Jesus, we need to discuss what's going on. And it is good. It's very therapeutic.
We'd have these conversations anyways, just at writer's group with no one listening. So might as well talk about it if it's helpful. And I think it is because it's all the stuff everyone is going through.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is a long-winded way of saying follow us at Act Two Writers.
Yep.
And I'm on Instagram at Story Thursday and on Twitter at Tasha3.0.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter. Josh Hallman on Instagram. We have a good topic today.
I like this topic today. It came up for us sort of naturally, and we thought we would go for it. But before we do that, we have a This Week in Writing.
This Week in Writing, Tasha!
This Week in Writing.
Ah! I finally saw Dune 2 in IMAX.
Yeah. Where'd you see it?
I saw it in Woodland Hills.
Oh my God. There's an IMAX theater in Woodland Hills?
There is, and they deliver food right to your seat. It's fantastic.
Could I just take a moment to say how against food delivery I was at one point in my life when it pertains to being in a theater, and now I can't go to a theater without food being delivered to me?
It is disruptive. However, it usually only happens in the trailer, so it's not too big of a deal.
No, for sure. They're just so good. I'll have a glass of rosé, some flatbread, some popcorn, some candy. That's my movie going experience now.
Yeah, I had popcorn at Dune. It was fantastic. It was just so delicious and buttery, and I felt sick afterwards.
Nice.
I feel like my adult body can no longer really handle a bucket of popcorn at a movie, but I don't care.
Yeah, no.
It's so good.
That's a sacrifice for you're willing to make.
100% every time. So Dune was amazing. And you and I have talked on the podcast about, do we like Timothée Chalamet? Do we not? Do we get it? And I am now on the train. I'm on like the last car of the Timothée Chalamet train. And I'm like rooting.
Yeah.
Rooting for him.
Full circle.
Yeah.
It's our guy
now. I think so. He was great. And the thing that I remarked the most is that Dune, particularly Dune 2, but Dune in particular, just the whole thing, is so like hard sci-fi. It's so weird. Like, it's even too weird for me in places. It's so, the world is bonkers.
Whoa.
And often doesn't make a lot of sense. And yet, it has appealed to a mass audience, which I find fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think obviously the reason why it appeals to a mass audience is because at its heart, it is very simply a romance story between Zendaya and Timothée Chalamet. And it's also beautiful.
Yeah.
Because Denis Villeneuve is just is a master in with cinema. And so these two powers combined can help even the everyday person overcome a crazy world. And I think that is a very fantastic lesson to learn.
I love that lesson. I haven't seen Dune 2 yet. I was after you gave me the endorsement to go see it, I was like, I need to go see this, and then I did not.
And you saw Kung Fu Panda 4 million instead.
Listen, I had to cancel all of my movie-going experience this weekend.
That's terrible.
I know, so I didn't see anything. I do want to see Kung Fu Panda, and I want to see Dune, but I can't wait. It sounds like, yeah, At the Court's a relationship story, and people get behind
Please
it.
Please see it in theaters, Joshua.
Okay.
Please make that effort wherever you go for your dine-in experience. It is very worth it.
If you say so.
It's not an at-home movie.
Okay. I'm going to do that. But can we get back to Timothée Chalamet because you also watch Wonka?
Yes. Immediately after, the next day, I was on my Timothée Chalamet kick. I was like, Wonka it is.
How awesome is Wonka? Can we just talk about it for like 1 minute?
I did not expect it to be awesome. I was ready for it to be cheesy. I had a friend who saw it who was like, it's too childish for me. Like the sort of the acting or your arms are doing a little too much bending at the elbow and people's expressions are a little too exaggerated. Like it was for kids. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not really looking forward to it. And as soon as Timothy started singing Paul, my husband was like, I'm out.
That was within the first 5 seconds of the movie, by the way.
First 5 seconds, he's like, you didn't tell me that this is what I was getting into. But then another 5 seconds go by and he's like, oh, I'm listening. So like he was in it. He was super in it. And we loved it. I did not expect it to be this Harry Potter magical.
Yeah.
And the world building I thought was fantastic. And I thought he was incredibly charming. And what a difference to go from Dune to Wonka, especially just the day after, and to see his range. I thought he did fantastic. I was ready to feel like, oh, I'm just going to be watching him perform as if he was Willy Wonka.
Sure.
But he was Willy Wonka, and I was really brought in, and I think he lost himself in the role, and I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. He's going
to
be
You've been telling me to watch this forever.
You've
seen this movie how many times?
I've seen Wonka many times now. As a matter of fact, just the other day, I messaged you, and I was like, I'm watching Wonka and reading the script at the same time. And so I had
That's right.
I was pausing, I was reading, I was looking up and down. I was like, which is still so helpful, by the way. Probably the most helpful thing you can do if you're writing a script just to see what gets cut, what gets added, how lines are delivered, what makes sense, what doesn't. But yeah, so that's what I was doing. Sure. And I was like, man, how do they describe this world? Because we were working on something that has a little bit of a fantastical element to it. And I was like, I'd love to know how Wonka does this. And you'd be surprised to know that it was all very sparse and not overly, explained in any way, shape, or form.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Can I pivot slightly, but not really? I was having a conversation with someone just today about a script that this producer is making.
Okay.
And I've read the script, and so they're deep into production. They're actually doing reshoots. And I was like, oh, it's a great script. So like, why are you doing reshoots? And she said, well, it turns out that there wasn't actually a lot of character. We thought there was, but there wasn't actually a lot of character in the script. And so when we did test screenings, people were missing the character journey.
Oh.
And I was like, that's super interesting because in the script, you can tell that the character stuff is sparse. It's an action movie. You can tell that the character stuff is sparse. However, as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, the director will fill this stuff in. Similar to what you're talking about, like with the magic, I'm sure it was written as like very sparse and the director or whoever, all these sort of production designers will fill this stuff in. So that's how I felt about this. But it turns out like, you know, you got to have the right team to make it in order to fill this stuff in because that's the problem she's facing. And I think in Wonka, they certainly did. I'm picturing the scene where he's in his room and he's making noodle for fresh chocolate. I bet that was pretty sparse.
Totally.
But it's so magical in that scene.
Yeah. There's a part where he's pulling a lot of things out of his hat. It's kind of like the beginning. And even that's just like, he pulls this out of his hat and then he pulls another thing out of his hat. And it's just like, wow, okay, well, you just accept it. And I feel like even in the writing, you accept the world because the writing is confidently accepting and it's not over explaining it or anything. It's just kind of like, yeah, this is the world. Welcome.
Interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a Wonka breakdown? Is that in our future?
I've been waiting for you to ask me to do a Wonka breakdown. Yes. I'll do it right now.
I'm in. All right. Let's go.
Wonka.
Okay. Our topic today is the do's and don'ts of networking as a screenwriter. We've talked about this before, but I think we're getting just a little bit smaller and a little bit more specific today about this topic. A, because it's something that all screenwriters face and wonder about how to do well, and B, because it's come up in my life a lot recently. Just the idea of networking and how to do it well. And I want to say, just like before we get into it, I want to say that you know me, like I'm an awkward human, and I think I've gotten better at being less awkward, but I'm definitely shy and introverted, as many writers are. And I have had to teach myself to be better. I'm not going to say good, be better at networking.
Mm-hmm.
So to all of you writers out there who are terrified of this part of the job, or who say, I'm not good at it, so I'll never, like, why bother? Or I'll fail at this job. You won't. It's just something you have to learn and practice as you go, the same way you do any other part of your craft. So if you want to be better at this, you can be. So that, I just want to put that out there.
Okay. If you say so.
You're like, you're still awkward as fuck.
I'm kidding. No. No, not at all. You've mastered the art of networking.
You're really great at it. Now you have a natural charisma.
No. I sense if the conversation's going anywhere, and if it's like torpedoing, I'll be like, well, see you guys later.
You do that.
Yeah. Hey, well.
Or you will drop the torpedo and then leave.
Yeah. Oh, well, talk to you guys later. It's like, well, that couldn't have been any more awkward, but yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, shameless plug, you can practice networking at our next Act 2 event.
Soon we're having an Act 2 event. It's going to happen, and I can't wait to see this in action. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. So recently, I've just, for some reason, have been meeting a bunch of new writers in my daily life in various places. And I realized that there is a nuance to what was turning me off about writers versus what made me excited to meet with them and even to read their scripts. And I don't think that's particularly fair. I want to say that right off the gate. But it is a human reaction that I was having. And so I assume other people who are in positions of power who can hire other writers also have these kinds of reactions. So I thought we would talk about it because it is very nuanced. What makes someone you want to know more about and someone you feel like you would even be interested in reading them versus someone you are very turned off by and like don't even want to respond to emails. And so we're going to get into that nuance, I guess.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to start with the easy part, the do's, what to do. If you meet a writer in a social situation, let's say you have gone to a festival and it is like an after party, or it is a panel, or it is an Act Two event, whatever it is, if you are in a social situation and you have a chance to meet with a writer, you may not have the opportunity to just ask all of the questions that you have in that moment to that writer because there are a lot of other people at the party, or they have to go, it's the end of the panel, or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that I think can be good in this situation is to ask for an informational. And I have used the quote informational for many years of my life, particularly when I was an assistant and I just did not know how to get into the industry. I was confused by why the choices I was making was not leading me there, or I was just fascinated by this person's career and wanted to know more. The informational is great. And what an informational is saying something like, hey, I would love to like have a coffee or meet with you for a half hour to just hear your story and, you know, pick your brain about something. You're not asking them for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're instead asking them to simply talk about themselves. And as an assistant in particular, I found this very helpful because I could then get executives who otherwise would never say yes to having a coffee or drinks with me to say yes to these because it was so low stakes for them.
Yeah.
All they have to do is talk about themselves. That's easy. Most people love talking about themselves. And that's, by the way, what I wanted to hear was their story, how they made it into the industry, because you don't know all the paths that are available to you. And it's so helpful to hear how other people did it. So I just wanted to hear them talk. That's what the informational is. You're not, and this I think is the key, because I think we feel a pressure when we meet other writers or producers or people who can help our career in any way, in a social way, we feel the pressure to make the deal happen then. Like to make sure they know we are a writer, we have scripts that we think they would like, and this is our chance to put it in their hands and to get my career going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, take that piece out of networking. That's not what the social event you're going to is for. Think of it differently. Think of it as, I am here to make a friend. I am here to learn about these people. I am here to hear their stories of how they got started, what their career is like, etc. And the piece that you're hungering for, that you're desperate for, that can wait. And I think that's the nuance we're going to talk about today.
I have an example.
Please.
My earlier jobs, I was teaching tennis, as you know, out here in Los Angeles, and I was always surrounded by a lot of people who were in the industry. And oftentimes, these people, they were producers, executives, agents, all of the above. And I remember some of them would be like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a writer, you know? And I was in the position where I'm like teaching these people tennis. And I remember my friends and everyone would always be like, hey, why don't you should go try to make, like, talk to them, see if they'll read your script, whatever. And I would never do it because I was like, no way. It just never felt right. And what ended up happening was I ended up kind of like actually cultivating some very good long-term relationships with a lot of the people. And it was like a very long-term, like getting to know somebody. And that was genuinely, I wasn't trying to get anything from them. And I just kind of like blocked that out of my brain. And it ended up being very beneficial. I'm still in touch with a lot of the people that I had met back in the day, and some have been very helpful. And I'd always ask them, what's your story? Can I talk with you? And I would, and that would definitely, what I think that's the key, is just like what you said, is just try to ask about somebody else and never expect, like, in the moment, you're like, I'm a writer, read my script. It's Friday. Can I talk to you on Monday about it? That just, to me, I've never had that experience happen ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend who is trying to get into the industry, and she has access to these like monthly assistant meetings that happen, and they're all over Los Angeles. It's just a bunch of people meeting over drinks who are in the same industry, trying to get to know each other, trying to make these kinds of connections that we're talking about, but genuine connections. And she's nervous because, and she's not going to them because she feels like there's so much pressure to say, hey, can you get me a job? And I don't think she's ready to, like, I guess, define what job she wants or like take on work, I guess. She just wants to like learn about it. I was like, well, that's exactly what the network is for. Like, don't think you're going to the social event because you're going to try to get a job out of it. Like, literally take that out of your brain and put it somewhere else. You're going to meet people who are in your industry.
Yeah.
End of story. And the job stuff will come later. And I think that's when you start to think about these networking things as that, A, it takes the pressure away from you feeling like this is the make it or break it deal.
Literally.
That's going to happen. And you will just be more natural in these instances because you're just going to hang out with people.
Yeah.
And I think overall, the way I respond, the people that I respond to, I should say, they come at me like this. Hey, Tasha, can I pick your brain about something? Hey, I eventually want to do what you do. I want to showrun. I want to work in animation. I want to work in genre, whatever it is. And I'd love to hear how you got to where you are and to talk about what your job is like. I respond to people like that. Like, I'm intrigued by people like that because they come at me and they know what they want. It's very clear, but they're doing it in a way that's very easy to respond to versus the people that I don't respond well to are people who say something like, hey, I'm trying to do XYZ as a writer. Would you be willing to read my script? Hey, I'm trying to get into a writer's room. This is what my story has been. Would you be willing to read my script? And I guess the question is, do you see the difference?
Yeah.
Like, the first version is, I want you to talk about yourself. And the second version is, me, 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 me. Will you do something for me? And that's just, as a human, like, that's just not how normal conversations should work. And it's, maybe it's an ego thing that's buried in there. I don't know. But like, that's just, those are the two distinct differences. That is sort of the nuance that we're dealing with here when we're talking about the do's and don'ts of networking.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
So this happened to me a while ago. I was speaking to a bunch of writers and I was waiting to go on stage to have, like, whatever, my interview. And a writer found out that I was a panelist and she came up to me and she started telling me all about herself. She's like, oh, you're a panelist? This is me. This is my story. This is what I do. This is what I like to write. This is who I am. And as someone who's just genuinely interested in people, I was like, cool, that's super great. Like, that's really interesting. Your job sounds really interesting. But in my head, I was also at the same time being like, you could tell they just kind of wanted to get down to brass tacks and like say, hey, how, like, can you help me get my career going? Right. And I didn't respond well to that conversation.
Oh,
but it was great. It was fine. I left it with a bad taste in my mouth. And then later, an agent sat next to me, and this was someone I was friends with, the super cool guy. We just started chatting, catching up, and then his assistant came over, and then he had his assistant go do something for him. And then he leans over to me and he says, my assistant is great. You should meet him. He's super cool, really great writer, really into the same stuff you're into. And immediately I was like, yeah, send me his stuff. And I was like, wait a second. Why did I react this way so quickly to this situation and then did not like the other situation? And so
you got agented.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
But I mean, a part of it is a recommendation goes a long way.
Of course.
Also why these social meetings are very helpful, because eventually that person can be a recommendation for you. But it was also like his advocation of her was, she's real cool. She's a real great writer. You're into the same stuff. I was like, that all interests me. Versus the other person who was, it was a one-sided conversation that was just very much geared towards get me a job. This other one was just like, check her out. Like, you may like her, you may not, but just like, you know, check this guy out. I don't know. Does that nuance make sense?
It does make sense. It's so difficult because a lot of people come in positions, you know, it's like the one opportunity to talk to somebody. And so I understand why somebody would unload on anybody, you know, if like I'm coming up to speak to somebody or someone's coming to speak to you or whoever. I get it. I understand. And it's very hard not to just completely say, hey, I'm a writer and I just, this is what I'm trying to do. Blah, blah, blah. It, you just, that's like your shot. So I understand why it happens, but I think, you know, it just can come off the wrong way at times.
Well, here's the thing, because I feel like you are very good and you respond well to people who like shoot their shot. And
I respect
people who do it because I'm not that kind of person. Yeah. So, by the way, this story that I'm telling may just be me.
No.
Like, that just may be the nuance that I feel when people approach me. However, I do think it's fairly universal. But I very much respect the person that I didn't respond to in this story.
Yeah.
Her approach, in some ways, I really respect it. Because I was like, She knows exactly what she's zeroing in on, the fact that I want to be a fucking TV writer. You are someone who hires TV writers. Can you please read me?
Yeah.
I am trying desperately to become a TV writer and nothing I'm doing is working. This is my one-to-one here. Like, you're a straight shot. I don't have to go through a manager. I don't have to apply to shit. You are sitting next to me. And I get that. I really do. I just don't know how to approach the shooting your shot in a way that makes me want to go, yeah, send me your stuff.
I get it. It's just so difficult. But what if someone shoots their shot and it is actually the greatest idea you've ever heard? You're like, send me that.
I've never heard someone pitch a script that made me think this is the greatest thing in the world. If I don't try to help produce this, try to get this made for this person, I won't be able to sleep at night. That's not to say it won't happen, But I also, people don't approach me for that at this stage in my career. I'm early in my days of producing things for people. And so that's not really what I'm known for. I'm more known for, hey, you're a showrunner who could hire me and get my TV writing career going. And so it's less, I have a great idea. Usually what they're pitching me is, hey, would you just read my script so that if you think it's good, you would hire me.
But more times than not, I just like to hang out and I like to talk to people and I just like to hear their stories. And I think that's probably very similar with both of us. So it's really weird. It's almost counterintuitive because when I'll get to events that are for screenwriting or whatever it may be, I almost don't want to talk about it. Like, I just want to sit there and talk to people about their lives and what, like, okay, the elephant in the room is that we're all our writers, or as someone's trying to get something made, or someone wants to talk to that person over there, or wants to talk to this person over here, or whatever it may be. So I'm with you.
I appreciate it. I felt like I was alone on my island.
No, I'm just I just like to no, I'm with you. I just like to poke the bear as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, and I think in this particular scenario of you find a showrunner who could potentially hire you on a show, the thing actually that a showrunner wants to hire is not necessarily just someone who has a really killer script. In fact, that's almost like, it's important that this person can write, obviously, but it's almost like the least important thing, because anyone who makes it to the stage of being capable of writing TV, they're all pretty much going to be capable writers. The thing that actually a showrunner is looking for is a personality that they are going to be able to be in a writer's room with for however many hours a day for 20 weeks and potentially be on set with and have to travel with, who will not make their life a living hell, who will not make them uncomfortable, who will be able to listen to other people in a room and be respectful, who have all of these qualities that are not even writing related. They are adjacent, they're human related. So I do think that if your goal is to become a TV writer and you're approaching showrunners, it really is not a script forward conversation you should be having. It is a person forward.
There we go.
You know, so
no,
that's, I guess, where it's coming from.
No, I completely agree with you. I just want to be very clear. I everything you said, I agree with.
So Josh, as someone who shoots your shot and who is good at it, how do you shoot your shot while also being a human?
I there's rare scenarios where I've talked to people I've very much looked up to, and as a matter of fact, sometimes I'm so quiet about certain things, it'll force the person to ask the question, what are you working on? What are you doing? I appreciate shooting the shot, but in a setting of networking, it's just not, that's not where I like to shoot it, unless it's like, I did shoot my shot once.
Let's go. What is it?
I didn't know. You know what? This isn't even it. I just remembered one time. I was in Austin and I saw Shane Black.
Text messages coming through. Let's talk about
it. I just saw Shane Black and I was like, I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life if I don't just kind of go up to him and talk to Shane Black. So I like cornered him.
Yeah.
Was it awkward? Yeah. Do I regret it? No.
Redo the scenario. No. Did you say?
I didn't pitch him anything. I just went up and tried to talk to him and I was just like, hey man, I love you as a writer and this and that. I just wanted to talk to him, and my shot was just sitting down to talk to him, and that was it. That's all I wanted to do. And he was just like reading like a novel and going to his bedroom, and I was just like boxing him and just like, hey, well hang on. And, you know, I was trying to talk. And then
did you just ask him questions about his life, or were you just flattering him? Like,
I was just flattering him. I was flattering him, and then I was trying to open him up a little bit more. And then I think he was like a Jedi, and he was attuned to my mind tricks because it was not working. And then he was just like, "Oh, I'm gonna go back to my room, man. I appreciate it." And I was like, "Thanks, Shane." And I'm like, "Thank you. It's nice talking to you."
That's all.
Yeah.
Well, are you glad you did it?
Fuck yeah.
Well, yeah.
Could talk about it on the podcast. He'll never remember it. If I saw him tomorrow, he'd be like, I've never met you in my entire life.
Yeah. 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 I mean, so today is an I had a general meeting today, and this is just a microcosm of the networking that we're talking about. It's all the same skills. I don't go into a general and say, here's all of me, and I have this script, this script, this script. I go into generals and I say, hey, where are you from? Oh, how's traffic? You know, how did you get into the industry? Where did you start? And what was it like growing up where you grew up? And then maybe after 30 minutes of that, I may say, and maybe not, we may just for the full hour that we're hanging out, may just be about our lives. And I think for this particular general, about 45 minutes was just our lives and talking about where we're from and all the weird things we've done in our lives. And then it started to turn around to like, well, what are you working on? I think she said to me. And I also would say to her, like, what stuff are you working on that's exciting? And then at one point, I saw an opportunity to shoot my shot.
Oh.
And we were talking about how she, their company is starting to slowly get into genre. They mostly do action stuff, but they're slowly getting into some genre stuff, meaning like sci-fi, fantasy, but it has to be really grounded.
Yeah.
And they really haven't found their thing yet. And I said, you know, I've been wanting to do a fantasy heist movie. And this is kind of the character I see leading it. This is kind of what the world would be like. And I've not pitched this to anyone really before, but I just like saw a moment to say, hey, this is what I've been thinking about. And she's like, wow, like if you start thinking about that anymore, or you put that in a document or anything, like, let me know. That sounds like that could be cool. So that was shooting my shot after 45 minutes to an hour of normal human conversation.
You know, I'm sorry if I derailed this a little bit here, but I'm just trying to think of like, if you're in a setting, you're a writer, come in, you're at a networking event. I think probably the best thing to do, this might be one of those do's, is maybe just try to talk to somebody in a natural human way of just talking to someone and then asking if you can reach out to them, if they'd like want to connect. And like you said, I'd love to hear more about your story. And because I, you know, sometimes when you're in that scenario, it's like, I'll never see this person again, like in my entire life.
Yeah.
As it turns out, we'll get emails, right? Like sometimes people will shoot their shot, just emails, like, cause we're accessible. But I feel like, if you're ever in a scenario, like if you know, you could just tell, it's like dating. Everything's like dating. If you hit it off with someone, you're going to exchange information.
Yeah. It's interesting because I went to a panel recently and this girl approached me at the end and I was going to dinner afterwards. So I was kind of, we were sort of all being ushered out and she had this big question. She wanted to talk about showrunning and she wants to be a showrunner and she just wanted to hear what that was. And I was like, that's a much bigger conversation. And I could tell this girl right now, like an overview in 2 minutes as we're leaving the building. Or I could actually sit down with her because she clearly, you know, knows what she wants. And I just got a good vibe from her. And I think it was because she was asking me these questions about me rather than trying to pitch herself in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I gave her my email address. And I was like, this is a huge conversation. We can have it at another time. But here's my email address. Reach out to me and we'll talk about showrunning.
Did you give her the real one or your fake one?
My burner one. No, we're having a Zoom in a week or so, and we're gonna talk about it. So, no, like that to me is what shooting your shot should look like.
I agree. I completely agree. I think it just becomes a little uneasy when people are asking you for notes, asking you to attach yourself to something, asking you to maybe write something with them, which I think has probably happened to both of us. Maybe, I mean, I've been asked to write action comedies with people like who've never even read me. They've just maybe listened to the podcast. I'm like, ah, dude, no way. Like, we can't do it. But yeah, so that's what shooting the shot should be. I agree with what you said.
However, haven't you brought up a story where someone shot their shot literally in an elevator with Steven Spielberg and he was like, send me that script?
Oh, see, there is a story like that.
Is that a myth or is that real? That's also someone who, by the way, is a director, who is a very well-known executive producer, who like is thinking in that brain space. So if I were that person and you, I definitely think that I you could pitch me an idea at that stage and I'd be like, yeah, like I would produce that. That's just not what's forward in my brain right now. I'm still creating my own stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
But if you went up to a very well-known producer and or director, I think shooting your shot would look like pitching your stuff. Your one thing that's really amazing.
It's interesting. You can't be too closed off if you're in like a producerial state of mind or director state of mind.
You have to be open to those pitches.
I think so.
And I would read more of those than if I'm trying to hire someone for a room, in which case, again, it's looking for personality. If I'm looking to just produce a script and the next cool new idea, then fucking pitch me your cool idea. And oh shit, that surprised me. I'll absolutely read that. I may pass on it, but I don't want to not take that chance.
Man, so I'm trying to envision what young Tasha was like in networking events.
She was in the corner with a drink, trying to get drunk enough to talk to someone, but not too drunk where she got sloppy. And then also wondering how long she had to stay before she could leave and still feel like she was out networking.
That's so funny. That's, I feel like, everybody's experience. It's the worst. It is the worst.
Yeah,
it's networking's the worst. Tough. It is. It's so hard. It's like nuanced. I guess these are just our general thoughts about networking. These are general. It's hard to, you know what it is? Here's what it is, Tasha. It's really hard to say like the do's and don'ts of networking because every scenario is different. Every personality is different. And like we were doing like earlier, I was just kind of like, well, what if someone does have a really good idea? And like, that's where my brain went. But, you know, it's just important to talk about because I don't think people talk about networking enough.
I agree with that. And it is such an important part of our business. And it's such an important part of how we do end up getting jobs and making relationships. And it's all just about making friends. But that is a good segue into wrapping it up with, we do have Act Two events where the stakes are very low. It's just other writers. They're not people who can hire you. Just other writers hanging out, trying to make friends with other writers. And you can be weird that one night and then be like, okay, I gotta fix that the next night, which is talking from personal experience.
Yeah.
This is how I function with my networking events. And you can practice on us and there's no judgment. So just come and hang out, follow us on our socials to see when our next event is. And we'll fucking practice some networking, guys.
Let's practice some networking. Just learn to talk to people.
Josh is coming to the next one for sure.
I will definitely be there, probably.
All right, quote of the day.
Quote of the day.
If you have a good ear for dialogue, you just can't help thinking about the way people talk. You're drawn to it, and the obsessive interest in it forces you to develop it. Robert Towne.
Please
remember to rate and subscribe. Follow us at Act Two Writers for more awesome writing stuff. You can follow me, Tasha, at Story Thursday on Instagram or on Twitter at Tasha 3.0.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter, Josh Hallman on Instagram.
And as always, the Act Two podcast is a production of Act Two, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter. This episode was edited by Paul Lundquist.